Good morning, everyone. This is August 28th, and we are studying in the Sealed Book of Mormon, and we are starting a new series of study. It is going to be researched out through a topic or a particular thought, and using scriptures from the Sealed Book and sometimes the Book of Mormon and sometimes the Bible, that we will hopefully gain more understanding of the purpose of what the Lord wants us to be learning through the Sealed Book that he has given to us. So the name of my topic is Love Them Where They Are. And I hope that as we go through this, we can learn that we don't have to be perfect and we don't have to know everything. That's going to come as we begin to share thoughts and love other people and change ourselves. So this love them where they are, I heard this phrase the other day and it kind of stuck in my mind all week. And many times we interact with people on a superficial level. Hi, how are you? Have a great day, stuff like that. And we don't really put a lot of emphasis behind it. Sometimes you're even going to hear people, you're going to say something and it's such an automatic answer, they give it to you and it's not even what you said to them because they say it over and over. So one thing that somebody recently said to me was, when you're talking to somebody, have you ever said this to them? Has anyone told you that you're doing a great job today? So the most normal answer is probably no, because I don't think anybody says that to people, like a cashier or something. So then you can say, well, let me be the first one to say that to you. I think you're doing a great job today. I appreciate your smile, something like that. Okay. What kind of a reaction do you think you're going to get from that? Do you think their smile's going to be different, really big? Like, wow, somebody actually talked to me. There's Russell smiling. I just think bring people out of their little kind of tunnel that they're in. People want to be noticed. A lot of people maybe need that connection. So another thing that I heard this week was, you know, it could have been a bad day for them, a sad day, an emotional day. However, it could be, we don't know that just by seeing somebody that we're talking to. But we don't really need to know what's going on with them. We just need to show them a little love, a little kindness, a little gratitude. So there's this lady that works at a fast food place, and she's the one at the window taking the orders, or maybe she's the one that collects your money. She makes it a point to tell everyone that she meets, she says to them, I love you. Kind of odd, but she tries to say that to everyone. And one day, this lady's answer back to her was, in tears, I've recently lost my brother. He just recently passed away. And shortly after that, I lost my husband. And now there is no one to say to me, I love you. So we don't know what we do, how it touches people, or how much they might have needed that kind voice from us. So how and what the things are that we do, we don't know how they interact with anybody else. We're kind of standing at a crossroad right now. The angel Moroni has said to us that we need to bring a change in our lives to be able to move from the human side to a celestial lifestyle. that it is that process that the sealed book talks so much about. The process of becoming a people like Zion, a people of a celestial thought and actions of what it is that we do. So I'm going to read you some scriptures, write them down, and then we're going to read them. So in the sealed book, page 10 and 11, and I don't know, do you guys all have that? Page 10 and 11?
This bound book or
the yellow book? Well, I don't know how they are in the others. So if you don't have this on page 10 or 11, someone will read it. But the first one is LDS.
Could you name the chapter and the verse?
Oh, that would help.
You have
it's in the preface. And it okay. is, see that part?
Preface?
Yep. And it's under the part where it talks about the first refers to a rebellious and obstinate people. And if you do have the yellow one, it is on page 10. Okay, yeah, I think that's it. Does anybody else have the yellow book? If you guys don't have the yellow book, I'll try and find it. Okay, Russell has it.
I have it, I will get it now. I don't know what it says.
Okay. So we're going to read the scriptures that these quotes refer to are LDS 2nd Nephi, 28,
27, 25
to
31. Mine says 2nd Nephi 27, 21 to 26.
Top of page 11.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, top of page 11.
Oh. I missed that one.
I'm sorry.
2nd Nephi 27, chapter 27, verse 21, 26 through 26. And then another one. So that's chapter. So all of these are in 2nd Nephi, chapter 27, verse 21 to 26, chapter 28, verse 25 to 31, and chapter 29, verse 1. And then the last one is LDS Ether, chapter 4. So it's chapter 4 in Ether.
Ether,
5 through 6.
What about 2 Nephi 30, verse 3?
Okay, I couldn't put everything in there.
Just before that.
Just before that. May not have that. Oh, yeah, I'm skipping that. Okay.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Okay. I mean, you can read it, but. So the first one, who would like to read the first one that is LDS 27, verses 21 through 26? You don't have to read those verses. Just read the paragraph that it's attached to. Did I say that right? So go in the yellow book, go in the sealed book on that page 10, because I want you to read these scriptures later, you're going to see, but I want you to see what the sealed book is. So it starts out, the first refers to a rebellious.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, thank you.
The first refers to rebellious and obstinate people who honor the Lord with their lips, but who turn their hearts away from him because of the precepts of men.
Okay. So as we're out in the community, we can think there are lots of people that on Sundays praise the Lord, and then they're out there in the world during the week and they do the opposite. And maybe because we're thinking that people don't want to hear from you because you say something about God. You know, like that's like we don't talk about God except at church. So maybe it would be helpful to say some things to people about God. Russell, can you read the next one?
Sure. And that those rebellious and obstinate people will be the people of Zion in the last days. For how much they boast that all is well in Zion and deny these new scriptures.
So we have new scriptures and nobody wants to listen to them. But these are the people that we need to have coming to Zion. And so when we reach out to them in just a small, loving way, we might get them to think more about God on that day and what God has done for them, and maybe help them to learn and think about God more often. So in the next, the next one that says 1C, Robert, do you have that, Brother Bob? It's 1C and it's on number 11.
And it is to this rebellious and obstinate people that God intends to remind you for the second time and of the covenants he made with his people in the opening of the fullness of times in the early days of the restoration.
So it's a reminder and it has a purpose. And who is it directed at?
Rebellious and obstinate.
Right. So how do we reach these rebellious and obstinate people? It might only be through a kind word about who the Lord is, or a gratitude in our heart, or opening our minds and saying something kind to somebody else. And then the one that has ether attached to that. Brother Bob, can you read that one? That would be number 2A.
The second part, on the other hand, refers to a future time when the people of the covenant are pure in heart and exercise the same faith as the brother of Jared.
So it's a future time. When the people are pure of heart, are we there yet? You think all of us are ready to say that we are, I know I'm not, that we are a people of a covenant, pure of heart? I think I have to move in that direction. Are there any thoughts? Valkia?
Yeah, we don't have to be it already, but we have to have the longing in the heart to be one. And of course, we will stumble and fall, and there will be trials and tribulations. But if we keep the cute feelings in our heart, then that's the starting point to begin with.
That is.
Yes, and I would like to add, we can use all these new instruments. Like it was in the lesson of Mauricio with the ark. The ark is an instrument, and the ark as the word, and build a spiritual temple and let them feel included. That's so good with the, also Jesus, as he teaches us in the Beatitude, that he first gives people food, you know, first milk and then meat. Right. So this, I think also this higher cause and higher denomination maybe, that we are part of this second reign, this second invitation has to do with that we have no excuse anymore. All the things he has given us through scriptures, through the ages now coming together. And that's what we have to keep in mind to exercise the faith of Ether, I think. That, the brother of, the brother of Yaron. Yeah, sorry. So if we keep that in mind, we have to work on this vision, which even goes higher. You know what it was with the Haggai, the prophet. It said the second building of the temple and the procrastination and all these things that now is the united order, is the that we could understand it. That's the only way, united order. And as we contemplate this second invitation and the united order in how to translate it to normal people who were not prepared. That's what I loved about the story of Brother Bob, that we have to grow in empathy too.
Mm-hmm.
And but also speak the plain truth, and that my soul comforts in plainness, as Nephi says, that this really is the tool, the ark of putting down the traditions. So that's breaking down the walls, which everybody likes, but nobody knows how to build. It's always the chaotic structure. First, we have to sometimes speak truth and be plain about things. First, show love, like eating, helping them, and then they come, and then we have the water which you will never thirst. So that's a feeling, pure and clean, the eternal water and fountain.
So, anybody else? I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
No, thank you.
No, Arm, very, very well thought out. Yes. Robert.
The sealed book defines what it means to be pure in heart. I can look it up if you want to review that.
You can look it up, but let's save it for another part towards the end. Okay. All right. So Brother Steve, do you have the one with the reference to ether? It's 2B. Can you read that one?
Give me 1 second. I started reading ahead.
it's on 11, page 11.
Second ether.
Yes. Well, it's not, it's 2B on page 11 in the book.
No, ether 4. Okay. The second part is refers to Jesus Christ himself as the one who is to reveal the things that the brother of Jared saw to a pure people in the final part of the fullness of times. And that's in
ether. Okay. So are we in the final part?
You want me to read the scripture?
No, that's okay. You guys can look scriptures up.
We're in the beginning of the final part.
Yes, we are. So again, this is the time we're doing the transition within ourselves. We're moving ourselves from the left hand of God to being able to sit on the right hand of him in the celestial kingdom. It's a transition that we have to go through.
I think that the movement into a Zion society and so forth will be accelerated when the plagues come along that destroy what's out there now.
I agree, but can we wait?
We have to be ready for that time.
Right. Right.
And we have to be making the foundation and doing our work now. You're just exactly like you're saying. We got to be doing things now so people will know where to look when their supports fall out from underneath them.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So right now, we're moving ourselves. And by moving and able to move ourselves in the direction we would like to go, that the Lord's asking us to go, we need to have the action, like Russell is saying. And having just a bright and cheery word or telling someone they're important to you, showing love to other people, even though they're not ready to accept the book or new learning or whatever, wherever they're at, we can still show them love. And if we ask the Lord to give us ideas throughout the day of how we can do this, he's going to do that, because his desire is that we make this, walk this path, that we're on this transition. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and he will help you, because this is his work. He's not going to let you down. And also, this is the last time that he's going to cultivate his vineyard. He's told us that. And we spent at least 2 months on that, on the allegory of the vineyard. We just need to improve a little bit every day. We don't need to improve all the way overnight. Doing this will increase the good feelings that we have in our hearts, because we are going to start to share those good feelings with others and bring a shining light to others who may need that little light during the day, because they're trying to fight the adversary too. On page 15 in the sealed book, this is Words of Moroni, and it is verses 4 through 6 in the sealed book under chapter Words of Moroni. So we're not in the chapters yet. And it's verses 4 through 6. And Valkia, can you read the first verse 4?
Only 4?
Yeah, because I'm going to pick a few words out, and then you can read the next one and we'll pick some words out.
Therefore, it is in these days that the Lord invites his people. Come to me, O ye Gentiles, and I will show you things greater than these. Yea, the knowledge that is hidden because of the hardness of their hearts. Come to me, O ye house of Israel, and great things shall be revealed to you that the Father has reserved for you from the foundation of the world, and have not come to you because of your unbelief.
Okay. If we don't get rid of the hardness of our hearts, it says right there that the greater things that the Lord wants to show to us will not be revealed.
This is something that has both perplexed, confounded, frustrated, and befuddled me, is this hardness of the hearts. And there's no better place to test that than to have experienced it with people who you thought that were so receptive and so deep in gospel and so well inclined, and you present light and truth and they look at it and nothing new here. And in trying to deal with that, it has been a learning curve for me, because at first it frustrated me that, you know, snap out of it.
Yeah.
Love these people. They're my friends. I want you to get this. And yeah, they don't get it. And then this evolving situation about the hardness of the heart, this trying to be in control of results and outcomes and, you know, I'll fix that, don't worry type mentality that has been so many forms of self-centered, self-will run riot over the years. You got to kind of take a, here it is, and if you don't get it, understand that the Lord's in charge of that. And that makes the frustration and sometimes the sense of you know, want to quit trying. It takes that away. I'm not in charge of that. All I'm responsible for is to share my heartfelt inspiration about what this has done for my life and what it's doing today. Now I get mad at myself because I murmur, and I don't like that about myself. I've done that most of my life. I learned it from my environment. I was impregnated like those Egyptian slaves were with this murmuring business. I'd love to give that up. And I'm conscious of it most of the time. And I would like to get better at that, because the key to this unconditional love and loving people and not having a hardened heart, because like an Alma, what is it, Alma 12, 10 or 10, 12, it talks about, if you will not harden your heart, you will be given unto the fullness of the mysteries of heaven, or something like that. And that's where I want to go. I want to know it all. I want to understand it. I want to study it. I want to find out where it's at, and I want to experience more of this joy. But when it's talking about that hardness of the heart business, I have jumped through some loops with that. And then sometimes if I'm not really in a good place spiritually, I can revert right back to how I started. You know, get frustrated and upset, and I'm in control of outcomes. This is not up to me. All I have to do is do what we're talking about, being loving and being accepting and turning the results over to him. He may have a completely different plan for that person. And it may be something grand and wonderful. We've all probably got close friends that we could have probably have seen some of this through that didn't get it like we thought they would. And I've had several of them. But I got a feeling that, like so many other things, I don't understand how it works. It's mysterious. And things come back around in some powerful ways. And but when you talked about that, I just felt inclined to share that. You know, I'm not in charge of how things turn out. I just do the legwork and suit up and show up and do the next right thing. And sometimes it makes you smile from ear to ear.
I'm sorry. I gotta go check my work. My wife needs me, and so I guess I gotta leave.
All right. Thank you.
Hi.
Lisa, welcome. Thank you, Brother Steve. Lisa, we were just reading the words of Moroni, which is on page 15 of the sealed book in the yellow cover.
Okay.
And we're doing 4, 5, and 6. Part of knowing where we are lacking is the beginning of how to fix something. So that's where we're at. And Steve, totally agree with everything you say, because some days I think I'm doing really good, and then I run across this toxic person in my life and totally end up like, I went from fifth grade to kindergarten in one fell swoop, you know, just, and it's hard to work on, but we are human and we are trying. Balkia, can you read 5, verse 5?
Yes, sure. Behold, the time has come for you to tear this veil that leads you to remain in this terrible state of iniquity and hardness of heart and blindness of mind. For the words that come from this record, the sealed Book of Mormon, are like the hard tip of the mallet that shatters the hardness of the rock that covers your hearts, hardened by your traditions. And as the fire of the refiner who refines and purifies the filth of his thoughts, stained by the precepts of men.
Hallelujah.
Exactly.
This is the first time I read this. I want to give my testimony. I was so blown away. The first 4 is building up, but here it is. But I noticed, I want to go back to the first before, one thought I had with the hidden. The knowledge that is hidden, I'm contemplating this a few months now, the whole hidden thing and the sequence of things, which, because the tender mercies of God reveal themselves through timing. it's personal. You can't get to know him personally if you try to do his will. And I think if we could remember how he loves us through this word hidden, you know, that is for a reason that we were kept back and also are still kept back for the whole big world in a way, you know, as he could do big wonder and but it's not the time. But what it says here, it's the heart tip and it shatters. Aren't we longing for that all for years? All the, and this is the only way, this is the arc, this is the only way that the traditions can be put in new perspective, because it's not an good argument. And everybody's saying that. Everybody says, we have always done it like this. Don't give me more new things. And this is a new perception. And what a freedom, if we could see all the filth of the precepts of man and keep calm. Mm-hmm. Because this is our access, this is our privilege, that the pressure is being put on by the Lord to make us diamonds. And that was my thoughts about the rock.
So powerful verse. I think we all love this verse. I had this thought, Harm, as you mentioned the traditions. Hardened by the traditions. It's not just the traditions of the church. It's the traditions that sit in our head and our way of doing things. And so like Brother Steve, the murmurings are the hardest for me. And I can even now just sit there and do murmurings and say, stop it. You're not supposed to be this way. Love people. That's the primary goal of the celestial kingdom. And then my mouth or my brain opens up and it's hard. It is really hard, you guys. We are not going to get there immediately. Okay? Valkia, can you read the next verse, please?
In those days, the Lord will stretch out his hand a second time in order to reclaim his people who are of the house of Israel, and to do a marvelous work among them for the purpose of remembering the covenants which he made with the sons of men, and to fulfill the promises made to Nephi concerning the descendants of Lehi, his father, in order to recover the remnants of his seed, and so that the words of this book written by the seed of Nephi come to the seed of his father in the last days and to the knowledge of the house of Israel. Yeah, here it's called the marvelous work, and I sometimes refer to people. I believe it's Doctrine and Covenants 95, where it says that God is about to do a strange work, which is also a good term, because it's a strange work. You know what's going on. It sticks so good in each other, yeah, or it clicks. It's wonderful to discover that from time to time, like today is the first of Elul, and this is the day that Haggai got the revelation from the Lord of Hosts that they were to proceed to build the second temple, uh-huh, to start building that again. That is today. So I love how these things that are from the past also apply to us now in these days. You know, it's like, because every time I read the word second, I'm always thinking about the second invitation.
Yeah.
So and then I read the second temple and then I'm like, yes, this is what we're going to do now also. And then after 24 days, they actually start building. So now is the time probably to think about how to
the spiritual temple.
Build, yeah.
Yes, it's a spiritual movement. Thank you. And then can you go to verse 10? Just skip, you know, from 6, go down to 10 and read that one for us.
Yes. Behold, I, Moroni, am the same as I told you before, that if possible, I would make known all things, but I was instructed to seal my father's records, and with it, the record that the Lord asked me to write about what the brother of Jared saw, because the things he has seen are beyond the understanding of the Gentiles, until they repent of their iniquity and become pure before the Lord and begin to exercise faith in the Son of God, as did the brother of Jared.
Okay, Brother Bob, now you can do your pure of heart.
Okay. Sealed Book of Moses, chapter 5, verse 39. It says, it's on page 85 in the Yellow Book, only by having purity of heart can feelings of holiness be obtained. For this is to be holy, to be pure before God. And only with a pure heart and united in the sentiments derived from the name of the Most High, taking upon himself the name of his only begotten Son, is that the people will become Zion in the last days, just as Enoch exalted the feelings of his people before the flood swept the earth, and they were caught up in their days. And then Acts of the 3 Nephites, chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, which is page 149. It says, let us no longer quarrel and controversy among us, but let us take upon ourselves the commandments of Christ and stand up in such order to be united in all things, that together we may be overcome the obstacle which Satan may, any obstacle which Satan may place in our way. Therefore, I want to remind you that of these things that were required of us by Jesus Christ to make us pure in heart, seeking fidelity to promote good among brothers without detracting from the words left to us by the prophets in the past, in order that we might obtain the word of God revealed among us, that we may be one, just as he remains united with us through his gospel. Anyway, so those are some verses that pertain to that you kind of give some more light on it.
Thank you.
Can I make a quick comment on one of the last verses?
Yes.
The one that talked about covenants. You know, the Book of Mormon is a book of covenants. I mean, it was to bring knowledge of the covenants to the house of Israel. And the word Mormon is named after the waters of Mormon, where Alma baptized the people into the covenant. And so the Book of Mormon's not named after the Mormon who abridged it. Mormon is named after the waters of Mormon where the covenant was made. The covenant, remember the covenant before our Lord.
Good to know. All right, well, guys, we're running a little late. We're not running late. Let me see. Well, I don't have much more to go. Okay. The Lord has given us promises that if we believe in the sealed book, we will have the mysteries unfolded to us. And some of these verses have gone through and tried to show you how this is done, why it's done, and where what the purpose of changing our life is to be. You know, we have that in front of us. We want to be in the celestial kingdom. We want to have a celestial life. We want to have Zion built, the United Order built. Actions will bring about a change. Okay, if we just think about stuff and never do anything, we are not actually going to make a change. If you ask the Lord for help on this, he is going to give you help. Sometimes he says we have to do more on our own before he steps in. And I think that I'm at that point. I have to do more on my own. We can begin by putting God first in everything that we do. Especially when it comes to tithing and things like that. God's number one on the list, basically. That's how you put God first. He's number one on the list. And doing this will begin your journey to the celestial life. So we need to repent and become pure, just like what Brother Bob has said. And prayer is showing that we're trusting in the Lord a lot. I'm not saying this is easy. It's a starting point. God loves us on our best days, and he loves us on our worst days. It's not like he picks out, today you were bad, and I don't love you today. He doesn't do that. So be kind to yourselves in the journey that you're making. Understand that God's walking there with you. He wants this to happen. He's not going to say, today's your bad day, I'm not there for you. Okay? So don't give up. Don't, you know, be kind to yourselves. Don't sit there and say, I was so bad today, the Lord's not ever going to talk to me. I murmured too much. I should have said this. Don't feel that way. The Lord will inspire you. Mauricio's not the only one that's going to get inspiration to go back and talk to a person, because we have to spread the sealed book, the gospel, to other people. So if there's an opportunity there that we miss, he may tell us to go back and do that. So be kind to yourselves. There's another part of this that I was going to bring out, but we can maybe do that another time. And that has to do with Renee's lesson, Renee's verse that she put out about, I think it was in the Acts of the Three Nephites, and it was in, I think it was Acts of the Three Nephites. Okay, I lost it. It's in chapter 8. Maybe I found it. Chapter 8, verse 1. So you guys can read that. That's how they assembled the United Order. How does the Lord take people and move them? And even though we're not like sitting in Zion today, we can listen to these instructions and put them in our heart and try to work on them. And this is the part where it says that they wrote things down and then talked to the people and worked with them to help them understand. And we're going to have a united order, but we're going to have people coming in that aren't quite ready. And that's the part of the 1,000 years as we get them ready. It's a tremendous movement of what the Lord is asking us to do, but he's not leaving us here, and he's tapping with his mallet the top of the rock to get us ready. So be kind to yourselves during this process and keep going forward. Because I think that Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 8, verse 1, is like a journey of transformation. And we can study that and learn where we're going. And then also the second verse, when it says, a multitude of those who believed in the words of the disciples of Christ increased. It got bigger. We are going to do this. We're not going to fail. And I have a lot to work on for myself. So that is kind of my lesson. I wish we had a little bit more time, but I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording unless anybody has something really quick they want to say.
Be of good cheer.
There you go. Okay. All right. Love you all. And I'm going to stop the recording.